Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
A good Wednesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny one more time. We've got a shorty for you today because of Nats baseball. They are at Nats Park. They play today at 4:05. That means we're out of here around 3:30 today. So 90 minutes of us will get you ready for Charlie Slows and Eric Bach on the call of Nats baseball coming up next hour. There's a lot to get into, Danny. We can't waste any time because we don't have enough of it today.
Yeah.
So we'll start with the update. You just heard Savannah in the top of the hour update tell you. Jaden Daniels threw on the field today, went through some rehab, is not practicing, and Dan Quinn said something I thought was really interesting. He basically says, we'll know more on Friday, we'll get back to you on Friday. I took that to mean Daniels is not going to practice tomorrow either. Now, maybe he's just saying, I don't plan on answering any questions on Daniels tomorrow, but he basically said, we'll see what he can do on Friday. Well, it's Wednesday. There's a practice between now and then. So I think it's possible he doesn't do anything today, doesn't do anything tomorrow. You know, I'm on record saying I don't think he's going to play on Sunday. They're not going to just come out and say that, though. This group loves keeping all options on the table.
Loves their gamesmanship, yeah.
They love the Raiders having to prepare for two quarterbacks. So either that's what's happening, or there's a real chance Daniels guts through this thing and plays. But I did find it interesting that Dan Quinn said today he has to practice to play. Remember, last year when he broke the rib, mm-hmm. going into that Bears game, he basically didn't do anything all week long until walking in a few drills on Friday, and he played anyway. But on a knee, it sounds like it's different. Dan Quinn says, I got to see him practice and get real reps for him to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's good to hear that because it clearly understands the difference between the two injuries. One is a pain threshold tolerance thing where you're not going to push it, make somebody miserable just to drop back a couple times and throw a check down to Austin Eckler in practice. This is a, can you go? Not a, can you deal with the pain? Not a, let's get you an injection and wrap it up tight and see how you're working. It's, are you you? Is there any way that you could do the things that make you special or make you able to protect yourself, et cetera? And that's the test versus, okay, if we wrap it up and then between every possession, we'll put you in a super heated parka and someone will be massaging your midsection and your rib and we'll get you this injection and that pain treatment and whatever. That's a management thing. This is not. There's a difference.
So I saw in my For You tab that one of the podcasts in town had tweeted something to the effect of, I don't understand the sit Jaden Daniels if he's not 100% crowd. And I had responded and I was like, well, if it's said like this, is it easier to understand? Because I guess I'm part of that crowd. I don't think he should play if he's not around 100%. I said, what about if you call it the rest of the quarterback who scrambles more than every other quarterback in the league when he has a sprained knee crowd? Does that sound as crazy? And their point was, yep, still crazy. The response was, this isn't the NBA, MLB, NHL. You can't sacrifice a game or two, especially with their schedule. If the injury's bad enough, he can't execute a game plan, fine, sit him. Otherwise, go out there and fight alongside your brothers at less than 100%, which is like that like tough guy NFL mantra mm-hmm. of we play hurt and what have you. This is not a pinky. This is not a rib. You know, this is a knee for a quarterback who runs as much as any quarterback not named Lamar Jackson in the NFL. So in the same way that a lot of people can't understand the rest of the quarterback who scrambles more than every other quarterback in the league when he has a sprained knee crowd, I don't understand the let's be careful in week three with the face of the franchise who's the most important player to the entire outfit crowd. So that can go both ways, I suppose.
I guess no. The defiance and the pride and not having learned a single thing, having gone through this before. Sorry. Who am I talking about? A really athletic, gifted quarterback sprains his knee during the season. He's already played through some other injuries that maybe he could have sat for. Who am I talking about? Because it applies to both of them. It absolutely does. Griffin was concussed. They just trotted him out there the following week when he got brained against, I think it was Cincinnati or somebody when they're running the triple option, which was preposterous. They just trotted him out there the next week. Had other hits and injuries and things that where he clearly wasn't 100%. Has that sprained knee, and they couldn't wait to get him back out there. We have a sprained knee situation now. Our player, currently, who's wonderful and I love so much, played through something that probably should have had him out for a game or two last year. And here we are. You're excited to demonstrate that you learned nothing. You can't wait to show it. Cool, I guess. That's awesome. I mean, there's this whole expression about history, and if you don't know it, something else happens to you. I can't bother to look it up. Who cares? Brotherhood, machismo, headbutt. Enjoy it. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm not going to go 100% in either direction, right? Like, I'm not angry at anybody that says he should play because we don't have all the information. We don't know how healthy he is, how healthy he isn't. The team does. I just know what I've heard, which is that if he would play this weekend, that it would mean he made a pretty incredible recovery, and it would be really, really hard for him to just naturally be all the way back come 10 days after that injury. So if he needs to do a bunch of helpful things to get on the field and be himself, you know, anti-inflammatories and pain medication and all this other stuff, well, that's part of it. That's part of this league. The brotherhood's a real thing. I understand. Everybody wants to be out there and be reliable, especially the CEO of the company, you know, of your Fortune 500 operation. You're the quarterback. The season is not won or lost this weekend, number one. Number two, and people might even disagree with this, but I would go as far as to say, without him, you're still favored to win, and it's a very winnable football game. That should factor into this as well. I know some people would say it doesn't matter at all if they're playing the Raiders or the Browns or the Packers again, that it should have no bearing on the decision. That's probably a reasonable take. But he's not practicing today. Based on what Dan Quinn said, and we'll play all the audio for you coming up next segment, it sounded to me like he's not going to do much, if anything, tomorrow, and then they'll see what happens on Friday if he's able to get through any part of practice. But you guys can hear for yourselves and take out of that whatever you'd like. We'll have that Dan Quinn audio queued up for you as soon as next segment. But right now I wanted to get into the stadium deal because that's the other of the leads today. In fact, we've got a poll of the day. We're posting on Twitter on the 106.7 The Fan page right now. You can go vote. The G&D poll of the day via Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long-distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best-in-class service and experience. What are you guys more worried about, and what are you more interested in today? The status of Jaden Daniels for this Week 3 football game with the Raiders with a knee that he's dealing with, or the stadium deal possibly being on the fritz. This is incredible, and somehow, Danny, this is simultaneously unfathomable and so expected.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to politics in the nation's capital, man. Did we call this or did we call this? And I'm not even going to pat ourselves on the back because I think everybody called this. It's not going to be easy. It's never easy. So what is happening for those of you that have not heard or haven't gotten a lot of intel on this? Yesterday, ahead of a vote today, noon is when, for the first time, the council's back together, first time in weeks, in session, voting on a bunch of things. One of the things they'll vote on today was supposed to have been the second vote to confirm what they've already said yes to, which was the stadium deal with the Commanders. I don't know why this is this way. I can't explain it. A grown-up could tell me like I'm five, and maybe I would understand. I don't know. But the way they do things in D.C. is they pass the stadium deal 6 weeks ago, and then they have to come back together, the exact same group, 6 weeks later, and pass it again. That's how they do things. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but here we are. So in the intermediary here, in the time between now and then, there's been this back and forth, from what I can tell, between the team and the city council, where different members have raised these issues that they still have, and they have put forth these amendments, many of which the team has told them are non-starters. Hey, man, we have a deal. You guys have already said yes to it. 9 of you said yes. We needed 8 of you to say yes. On the next vote, we need 7 of you to say yes. You guys have agreed to the deal that we've agreed to. We've all agreed to the deal. We like the deal. You liked the deal. We're going to keep moving forward with this deal. The amendments from individual council members include things like housing restrictions and parking restrictions and environmental protections and individual members. And so I don't have any inside information here, but these things can be everything from, hey, if you get rid of that tree we don't want, we're angry and you got to do this. Or it can be something like, I'd imagine when you're building this stadium, you know, you have to do it in the way that we want you to, or else we're going to fine you or what have you. And so if they come back to them the day before this vote, after all the dinners and all the meetings and all the cross the aisle conversations that they've had and all the discussions, and now they sit down today and they're voting on these amendments that they've told the team they want to add to the deal. Well, the team doesn't have to agree to any of these things. We know from the letter sent by the president of the team
today. Doesn't seem like they do.
They don't agree to any of this stuff. They don't want these additions. So the city council will pass this deal. I think that's going to happen. They only need 7 votes. They had 9 last time. The question is, do they pass any of these amendments as well? Because if they pass this housing restriction amendment, this parking restriction amendment, this environmental protection amendment, then this is now a new deal that the team has not agreed to. So the deal that got passed that they agreed to last time, everyone high-fived and said 6 weeks from now, it's all over. It will have changed, and the team has the opportunity now to get out of this deal if they want to. So what I think is going to happen today, if I had to guess from what I'm hearing, is that the stadium deal will get the 7 votes and will pass again, and everyone will think, oh, much ado about nothing, it's over. The only thing that matters is not that, though. It's do these other amendments that the team wants nothing to do with also pass? Because if so, this is an altered deal that the team, presumably, based on the letter we saw from Mark Klaus, wants nothing to do with and views some of these things as non-starters and non-negotiables. We've already given you asked for a mile. We drove a mile. Now you're asking for a few more miles at the last minute that we haven't agreed to, and you're going to vote yes on those. Seems like bad business.
Yeah. This is, as you said, par for the course. This sort of stuff happens all the time. It just happens to be in our sphere now where it's the pro sports stadium, this, you know, once in a lifetime thing, presumably. We're seeing it play out. I mean, again, remember in Virginia when Madam Meme, I forget her name, but I want this. Here you go. Here's this that you wanted.
Oh, who was the meme lady?
Louise Lucas. There it is.
Louise Lucas.
I would like these 3 things. Okay, here's those 3 things. No deal. Okay. Like, again, it's I didn't expect I would get that, so I got that, or whatever. So I see Eric Flack from Channel 9 locally interviewing somebody from the Sierra Club today. They've now made their presence known in this.
That's the environmental group?
Yeah, the environmental group.
The trees can't get cut down, people?
Yeah, so they got to, it sounds very sinister. I'm just saying. So clearly their influence or their talking points got in here somehow, it seems like. He's down there in the office discussing the huge impact of the trees potentially. Eric Flack also reports that Mendelsohn is asking for a $10 million a year penalty if the team doesn't meet the housing timeline that they've established, right? Even if it's via good faith, even if it's for the sake of argument, making something up. All the rivets that were supposed to come in from Cleveland don't, for a reason that's beyond anyone's control. Now you'd go, well, we're actually going to be a month late, so it's supposed to be done December 1st, won't be done until January 1st. $10 million. Again, if it's through some egregious error and mess up, we can have a conversation. But just now to sort of automatically trigger a cash payment from the team. Again, this is the way that this council, individually, we've spoken to a lot of these people, and they are charismatic and charming and smart and intelligent and care in a conversation to get their talking points out, etc. But as a collective, this is what they are. They're this. So as far as I can throw them is as far as I can trust them. Until it is a shovel is in the ground, I will never, ever, ever, and I mean ever once, count on anything being done when someone says it's done. And anybody that does, brace yourselves here, is a fool. You're a fool if you believe them at face value. At all times. When it's done, it's done.
I'm a fool. Let me start with that.
I'm not yelling at you.
Well, you're kind of yelling at me.
A little bit.
I thought this thing was over after the last vote, because in my opinion, what was going to happen was you were going to move forward 6 weeks later, and you were going to have essentially the exact same vote, although one more guy was being added, because Trayon White
mm-hmm.
had been added back to the council, who had been arrested and, you know, all of these different allegations about him. What did he get in trouble for?
It was a bribery charge.
Okay. So now he immediately won in a landslide to get right back on the council,
mm-hmm.
which we could probably do a segment on, but this is not the show to do
that.
That's
not that show.
He is back now almost immediately on the council. from what I could tell, was going to be pro this stadium based on the people I talked to anyway. So if anything, you might have even added a vote, whatever. But the point
is... But he's a bit of a wild card, you'd say.
A little bit of a wild card. Either way, you had nine yeses.
Yep.
They only need seven this time. They needed nine last time. Or they needed eight, actually. They got one more than that. So now you only need seven. Even if he's not a yes, unless three people basically change their votes, you're home free. So I thought this thing is over. I guess, and this is just where I don't know what I don't know. I always say, this is not what I got into this for. I don't know enough about local politics. I'm making calls and asking questions of anyone who will talk to me on all sides of this thing. I've talked to a bunch of the council members, people from the team over many, many months. All we're trying to do is educate the masses as best we can. And I'm happy to present both sides and let you guys kind of call your own shots here. That's perfectly fine. But what I kind of thought was, when you strike a deal, then that deal moves forward. What I didn't anticipate was a lot of these last-minute changes. And I just think we, as a show maybe, took our eye off the ball. Now, I could give you some excuses as to why. The season started. Mm-hmm. Football's being played. Jaden Daniels has a knee that I'm worried about. You got blown out by the Packers, and you destroyed the Giants. And I just kind of assumed this thing was going to work itself out. But after talking about nothing but this for weeks in the offseason, we kind of stopped doing that and we moved on to the football season. And maybe we should have still been doing this. Maybe we should have still been having council members on and grilling them and seeing what was what and are they okay with this. I just took their yes vote last time to mean they were okay with that. But I guess it's not that simple.
Yeah.
You know, it really is wild when you think about it. But here's what's crazy to me. And again, this is where we brush up against politics. And I don't know if you can say the next word without a lot happening, right? But politically speaking, if anybody's tracking D.C. and the federal government and therein, all the things going on between the two right now, they are majorly at odds. Well, the president has made it very clear, being at the press conference with Josh Harris, being at a press conference with the mayor, that he wants the stadium in D.C. The council came on and said, he's not going to be involved, this is our job, whatever. If this doesn't work out where the council is moving forward with these amendments, the team wants nothing to do with these, do they pivot back to the mayor, who's on their side, not the council side, and say, let's call up the White House, and then does Trump rear his head in this, and somehow that becomes a thing moving forward? At a time, by the way, where there's unbelievable acrimony, do you think he would pass at the opportunity to jump in right now and spite the D.C. City Council? So I think this could actually get really, really, really ugly if any of these amendments do pass. And that's got to be the card that the team has in its back pocket. Not that they want to play it, but I think that they feel like, I'd have to imagine, that he would be willing to go toe-to-toe with the D.C. City Council if need be. But only in D.C., bro. Only here. All I want is a stadium. That's all I want. I want football players to be able to play football on an indoor facility with turf field, under ideally a retractable roof, it's probably just going to be enclosed, and a new stadium. And here it takes all of this. It's pushing a boulder up a hill with a piano on our back while wearing Crocs. It is just impossible.
You were too young, but 21 years ago, we did this exact same dance with Linda Kropp and Nats Park. There was a deal. Everyone agreed to the deal. The deal's good. Major League Baseball's got a deal. The owner's got a deal. The city's got a deal. The deal's a deal. We got a deal. Can't wait for the deal. 11th hour, 12th hour, after midnight, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, all of a sudden, amendments get proposed. And you could see there are pictures. There was a couple famous ones. I was trying to find them just now. I couldn't. Where she's talking, and in the background, someone captures like someone else on the council like with their palms up, like half sighing, half rolling their eyes, half going, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening right now. But this is par for the course when it comes to this. So who knows if it's I have no idea what people's motivations are. I don't know if it's grandstanding. I don't know if it's now all the cameras are on me one more time, I'm going to try to raise my profile. I don't know if it's you do this to keep Sierra Club donors happy that you proposed it and it got shot down, but it's not my fault. I have no idea. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anybody. Simply saying, yeah, we did this before. 21 years ago, we were all right here in, I think it was in September. Could have been later on in the year. But I remember this almost to the day where everyone thought it was done, and she stood up and was like, it ain't done. We need these crazy financing rules that has never happened before in the history of mankind. And everyone's like, how the hell is that going to happen? Arguments ensued. Eventually, it got done. I still think it's eventually going to get done because, really, the team's will on this is pretty clear. They know the alternatives aren't viable.
But who's
going
to be calling the shots?
I have no idea, honestly.
DC City Council or somebody else?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be difficult about it. I really don't know.
But I don't either.
To me, the driving force here are, not to sort of push all this stuff aside, the billionaires care where this thing goes. And you have a small team of billionaires together that would like it at this spot that has nostalgia and meaning for them. It's going to be there. How they get it, I don't know.
I can't believe we're here again. But yet, it's so believable.
It's almost like we never left, didn't we?
Nothing changed.
Just open up that closet. Oh, there you are.
We just stopped paying attention and started talking about football. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's changed.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that it was a yes several weeks ago. But I feel like, based on what we know of this ownership group, what we know about the Commanders, they feel like they negotiated in good faith, had these meetings, did the due diligence, met in the middle on everything that they were supposed to, and that a good deal was struck between the two sides. And everyone said as much, by the way, 6 weeks ago on both sides. It was a big victory lap. We had the council members on that were opposing it, saying, look, what this is what happened. See, I told you so. Without putting words in his mouth, kind of paraphrasing, Charles Allen, you know, his kind of tone on this was, see, I told you, just give me some time to get DC a better deal and we'll handle this thing. Well, okay, we got you a pretty good deal. You can't now get a different deal, better deal, at the expense of a team saying, no, we're not interested in that. So I do think they would not have a problem walking away. When I say that, I don't mean it means there'd never be a stadium here. But from this specific version of this deal,
right,
and possibly agitating federally to get some involvement here and some help, I think could be something that they should consider, may consider, if this goes sideways today. But the voting's ongoing. There's been nothing worth passing along yet on the Commanders' front. They got a lot of things that they're doing first day back in session. But if any of these amendments pass, then I think it's on at that point. And now we're in for a long next couple of days, possibly, even when, and I won't say if, I'll say when, they get the 7 votes to pass the stadium again. With these amendments, that's almost irrelevant because it is a deal that they not only didn't agree to, but want nothing to do with in some capacities. That's one of two big issues we're tracking here.
We're just juggling.
The other's on the football field. Jaden Daniels' knee. Is he going to play against the Raiders? Let's hear from Dan Quinn next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Tell them, Dylan Cruz. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan, a Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary, Toby Altizer production. Thanks to him for the update as we welcome you back to G&D. Let's update you on Jaden Daniels, and to do that, we've got audio from the head coach, Dan Quinn. So this is a little over a minute. I think it's a total of 3 questions, 3 answers from his press conference today. We'll react on the other side. But this is how DQ kicked off the presser today.
And what is the plan for Jaden today and then the rest of the week?
Sure. So Jaden had a good rehab session today. He also threw out on the field. He won't practice today. And then as we get into Friday, I'll give you an assessment of where we're at after we go through practice on Friday.
How much are you finding that you're having to hold him back from doing too much at this point?
Yeah, we're going through that process. Like, that's him as a competitor. Like, but we also recognize the importance of the person, the player, what he means to the franchise. So We're also going to be smart, not just fast, in this assessment. But yeah, this is a player that's absolutely wanting to do everything all the time. So it was a good start to the week for us, throwing the movements at the position. So I know we've talked a little bit about return to play, but there are position-specific skills that you do for each one. So he hit those today, which was a good start. And then, like I said, I'll give you the final update on Friday.
Do you need to see him back on the field with the rest of the team before you feel okay?
Yeah, I would. It's important, timing, reps, the movements. But it was a good first step to it, Nikki. But, yeah, we'd have to get some reps for sure.
John Keim, Nikki Javala asking questions of Dan Quinn today in his press conference in Ashburn. So, Cliff Notes there, good rehab session. Did throw on the field today, which I was – that was surprising.
Yeah, me too.
Interested to hear that. Put him out there, let him throw. Obviously, I'm sure he's throwing against air. As we get into Friday, an assessment on where we're at is going to be given. Did you take that as, like, that's when I'm going to tell you guys the likeliness of him playing, because that's when I have to, when they list probable, questionable, doubtful, whatever? Or did you take that as he's probably not practicing tomorrow and we'll see if he could go Friday?
That one. In other words, I'm not sure what he's required to do in terms of tomorrow. I mean, I know you have to list the things of who practiced and their current status,
right,
et cetera.
Just limited, full, that's basically it.
Or DNP, yeah. For whatever reason. So, but I think the next time he's required to let anyone know information or can face a question is Friday. So I think it's that.
They're holding him back. He acknowledged. He said, we got to be smart, not just fast, that he wants to do everything always, and we can't allow him to do everything as soon as he wants to. I found that encouraging, basically, to say he's important to us. He's the guy that matters the most around these parts, without being able to say that. And they're going to do everything they can to make sure he doesn't push it too much. But he did say it's a good start, and he acknowledged the throwing and the movement both being where they wanted it to be today, so that's good. Lastly, he said he needs to practice to play. That, to me, was the answer he gave that I didn't anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
He could have easily said, I don't want to get into that, or we've seen enough of him, or he gets a lot of these reps with the VR stuff. So, because even if it's not true, by saying he needs to practice to play, now we know if he doesn't practice by Friday extensively, he's not playing. You've kind of given us the answer to the quiz, so to speak, by saying he needs to practice to play. My guess is he's going to be listed limited on Friday, or eventually he'll be listed limited. Because for that limited distinction, quite literally all you have to do is just to be out there at some point.
Yep.
So like you could
individual drills, do nothing else.
You could do some indoor stuff and throw at those nets. He's now limited in practice. You could just do some dropbacks against air, not even at full speed, and you're listed as limited. So no matter what, I'd be shocked if he's listed as did not practice today, tomorrow, and Friday. Because now we know that means he's not playing based on what Dan Quinn said. I guess if you really want to read the tea leaves, he could also then mean that he could do the walkthrough Saturday, which they don't have to update anybody on what happens on Saturday. And maybe that means we saw him at practice, we saw enough of him that he could play, a la the rib injury against the Bears last year, when I think everyone was pretty surprised that he came back and played so quickly. But I got to imagine he's talking more about what Jay Gruden told us. He's like, I need to see him sprint, I need to see him cut, I need to see him change direction. Everything that he might have to do in a game, I need to see him do on the practice field before I let him play.
Because that's what's different than last year. Again, they said, get your VR reps, get your walkthrough type stuff, but you're not facing anything. And Marcus Mariota is going to talk after practice. You don't have to. You're resting. And this is a pain management thing. This is a can you physically do it thing, which is different than are you tough enough to do it. You know what I mean? And last year he proved, by the way, tough enough. That is not a question. That's something that should never be brought up. Broken rib, he played. I think it actually got worse at one point during that Pittsburgh game, but that's, we're given so precious little information. I'm just using the eye test. So that was last year. He did the, hey, Jaden, are you tough enough? Please, that's past. Never bring that up again. No problem. That's in the rear view. This is not a toughness contest. This is a, can you physically do the things that will make me feel comfortable and at ease? Right? I mean, the same thresholds that Alex Smith had to go through, for example. Obviously not the same injury, not the same circumstance, but me, Danny Ruggier, couldn't handle it. My stomach was queasy every time he would drop back to pass or, whatever, the defenders were trying to hit him. But as a head coach, here's what would go through my mind. This player is so valuable. Can I trust that you'll be fine if normal circumstances happen, where you're hit, where someone tackles you from behind, where somebody's chasing you down and you cut back to the middle of the field, etc.? Right now, me, I don't trust it. I don't have the info that they do, but I'm just saying, simply seeing based on what I saw this past weekend, I would not feel comfortable yet. that's the kind of caution that I need, and it sounds like they've got some of that.
Well, the worst argument that I hear for playing him is from people who say, well, just play him and tell him stay in the pocket and only throw. As if that's real. As if that's an option. As if, you know, he's not wired to immediately leave the pocket as soon as he feels trouble based on years and years of making unbelievable highlight reel plays and scoring his teams a lot of points and moving the chains over and over again. And all of the positivity that comes from leading the NFL in scramble yards with 600 last year. That's not a thing. Now, different conversation. Can he win from the pocket? Of course he can. He proved it. He can read. He can dissect. He can make throws. He can do all those things as a pocket passer. The superpower is still the running ability, but it's a muscle memory thing. If you tell me, well, let's just not have any design runs for Jaden Daniels. Great. No problem. That's not the same as he's not going to run the football. Nobody in the league scrambles on passing plays more than this guy since the beginning of last year. There is no reality where you can put him out there and tell him, don't scramble. I don't believe for one second, if you're saying you got to be in the pocket, we don't want you running around, don't risk it, that you can let him play. Because if he plays, he's going to be Jaden Daniels. And if he can't be Jaden Daniels, what is the point of asking him to play? I keep coming back to this. This is not a win to get into the playoffs, division on the line game. This is not a playoff game, you know, against Seattle or Green Bay or Detroit or any of the teams that they've played at home in the postseason. This is a home week three game against a Raiders team coming off of a gross loss on Monday Night Football, short rest with a bunch of injuries coming to your building when you haven't played since last Thursday. Act accordingly, please. Now, if he's 100%, and I always come back to this, of course, I'm not saying don't play him just because he suffered an injury against the Packers. I'm just saying if the injury is what I think a lot of us think it is, which is something that could linger for a week or two, why push it?
Yeah, the opponent part of it that you've hit on, I hear you, and it makes sense to me. I don't care if it's the Cowboys this weekend. You know what I mean? This, to me, is a great test for us all to understand something, right? We failed in 2012. Everybody failed. There are a few of us that are going, hey, would anybody have any caution for the hobbled player? He's cleared. He needs to be out there with his brothers. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. We somehow, through the grace of God, a decade plus later, have been given another opportunity to stand at the very same crossroads. And yet so many want to go down the whatever the team says is fine. It's football players. It's not playing tiddlywinks, or it's not what you guys deal with in the office because you strained your hamstrings. You can't play pickup hoops. We understand that there's a difference. I'm asking you all to understand there's a difference with the franchise quarterback, who's the reason that we're not sitting here going, hey, did they miss on Ben Sinnott? Hey, did they not get Luke McCaffrey right? Why isn't Johnny Newton doing the thing that they predicted, you know, as a guy that's wreaking havoc in the backfield as a second rounder last year? What's going on there? And have they missed on guys like Noah Brown? Why isn't the receiver position better? No one's having those conversations because they went to the NFC title game last year because of this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful young man who I'm so grateful is here. Please take care of him. Please have that player have a constant, which is, I'd like to get on the field. I want to do everything I possibly can. That's good. That's what you should want. Now the adult in the room says, thank you, Jaden, for your enthusiasm. We're going to hold off for a week. And again, if he's fine, if he's actually good to go, let him go.
But people hear this and they're like, you're just holding him out for no reason. I think you'd acknowledge, just like I would, if you're watching a practice and you can't tell that anything happened to him,
then by all means.
In this hypothetical, no one's saying hold him out as an extreme precaution. What we're saying is if he's hobbled, if he looks a little different, if he has a weird gait, if he's limping a little bit, if he is not completely healed and recovered and he's getting shot up with Toradol or whatever they're using these days and anti-inflammatories just to go play because he gives you a better chance than Marcus Mariota, that's the wrong way to do it.
Yeah, and the nobody is 100%. It's the NFL now cliche thing that everybody loves to spout off. This isn't a bruised tricep on his left arm. This isn't. Oh, you know what he did? He hit his funny bone kind of hard, and it's annoying. Knee. It's a knee. There are a couple of these things in everybody's body. They're pretty critical, pretty important ones. That knee is one of those two or three right at the top of the list where you need it to be right. Please and thank you.
Do we think he plays on Sunday? We'll get into that next. What about you guys? Do you think that we see him play against the Raiders? The team seems to be keeping the possibility on the table deep into the week here. 800-636-1067. A year ago with the rib, a lot of people said he'd miss the Bears game, and then he didn't. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
It's huge, really. I think that's what's been awesome about this team. We kind of preach it every single day, but just the brotherhood, the connection, regardless of how this situation plays out, just knowing that the guys have my back gives me confidence to just go out there and be myself and play to the best of my abilities.
Marcus Mariota is handling Jaden Daniels' normal Wednesday media obligation. Take that for what it's worth. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Not definitively telling of what they're going to do, but Daniels not at the press conference because of his health. Mariota is talking. And by the way, the team they play this weekend is a club that he started for and played games for as a backup in Vegas. The next two games are against the Raiders and the Falcons, two of his previous teams.
That's right. But didn't this happen last year? Am I crazy? Mariota had to speak one of the days and ended up Jaden Daniels played that weekend?
Yeah. When you're hurt, yeah, it's an easy out. And for the team specifically, I'm not saying Jaden wouldn't want to do it, but the team, the quicker they can get you away from the podium so you don't have to answer any questions.
Right.
How do you feel? What's the rehab? When are you going to be back? What kind of soreness? Also, they don't want anybody to see Jaden Daniels, it would appear to me. Like, best I can tell, I don't think he was around when they were at the available portion of practice. Maybe he was. I'll have to ask about that. But he certainly wasn't out there. And I can't imagine he's going to be walking through the locker room. You haven't seen any eyewitness reports. I haven't. About, you know, if he's hobbling or if he's limping. Like, you probably keep him out of sight, out of mind, and you keep everybody guessing and you play this game, which in some way is what this is, as long as possible, about his status. Because that's kind of what this is for them. They're trying to keep it as vague as they can so nobody really knows how hurt is he, how healthy might he be by game time, and can he play on Sunday? Which brings us to our question. Do you think he plays in this game, and what's your level of confidence that he won't? We'll take your calls on this at 800-636-1067.
I don't believe he will. I what I'm hearing makes me think that there's some level heads on some shoulders here. And I have no reason to not believe that, given what we've seen from this regime that's thoughtful and smart and has a plan, whether you agree with the plan or not. They have a plan and they execute against it, right? Instead of just, you know, what we might try is a smaller receiver, maybe a bigger receiver. They know what they want. Again, whether you agree with them or not is a fun sports debate. But this regime, Peters, Quinn, and on down, have good level heads on their shoulders. And the way they've spoken about this makes me think that they get it. So I would say I'm probably 70% confident that he doesn't play this weekend. If he does, it means that he wasn't really that banged up to begin with, and he's actually good to go. And I will trust the idea that it's not just, well, the player told me he's okay. I don't really care about that, right? Like, I've done that dance before. He actually will be fine.
Another thing I'd add to that, by the way, because I agree with most of what you just said, they're at a point where the time on the practice field has become pertinent because they have not started well. Like, they're not on the same page in all these different regards based on the summer. We talked about this coming out of a Giants game that was leaky offensively and then a Packers game that wasn't sharp. And Daniels has not had the same level of accuracy that he had in a pinpoint, you know, command and control rookie season, right? And you heard Daniels, Quinn talking about Daniels and the fact that he would have to practice to play, saying, yeah, he needs the reps. We just need everybody on the same page. We need guys practicing together to go out there and play well. Well, I wonder if that's a factor in this either, or in some way also, which is to say, if Mariota gets all the reps all week, even if Daniels by Sunday is coming around to the point where, you know, he walked through on Saturday in full, Friday he was limited but did a couple things. If Mariota got the bulk of the work like Wednesday, Thursday, when you were putting in the real stuff, the good stuff, when you were having an authentic practice and installing, might you be better off with him for that day against the Raiders than a potentially beleaguered Daniels who didn't get that time on the grass? I think that's something else that they've got to consider as well, because I just think we're at a point now where as a group, they need to start getting in sync. They do not look as a unit like everybody's on the same page, and I think it's because they've had so little time together. This week does not help in that, although I will point out this is the worst defense they've played. The Raiders give up a lot of big plays in the passing game. If you watch the Chargers Monday night game, some guys are going to run free. There's some shots to take the lid off, I think, in the passing game. And even though their numbers are pretty good stopping the run, I think a running quarterback can take advantage of them off the edges. You know, Logan did a good breakdown on Take Command with me on this, and he feels like if Jaden were to be close to 100% and start, and, you know, he would have a big rushing game, he thought, against this Raiders defense, the way that they play things. Let's go to Drew in Graysonville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Drew?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
So I think there's really three different things in play here. One is the gamesmanship that DQ is doing to the Raiders about what's Jaden's availability. And I think that the thing he said about practicing on Friday, he's going to be listed as practice, and they're not going to know whether he's playing or not playing. But he just doesn't want the Raiders to know. As far as whether he should play or not, I think, you know, that catapult system objectively measures his Jaden's performance around the baseline. So it's not going to be an eye test. He's either going to be ready or he's not, based on how close he gets to being able to do the things he can do compared to how he can't do the things he can do. And I think if he's not ready, they're not playing him. And if he is ready, they could play him. But I think your last point about, is he ready this year to be playing like he was playing last year? I don't think he's been quite the same Jaden Daniels, you know, yet that we saw last year. This is an important game. And so, you know, if there's a gray area, I would guess that he's not playing. But if he's ready to play, he should play. And I think they're going to know that objectively. It's not going to be a guess.
I think everyone agrees if he's ready to play, he should play. The question is, what does ready mean, right? For some people, that's 100% healthy. I think that's probably overstated in some way as kind of like a straw man thing, because a lot of guys aren't 100% in this league. But what is ready, what is healthy, what is able and capable look like as it pertains to not putting him at risk? And that's what we've got to keep defining as this week goes on. A familiar face is back in the fold. They signed Preston Smith to help replace Wise. Feels like a really good fit for what they want to do.
Seriously. I have no idea what he has left, though, to be honest with you.
We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
It's back at the 10, and it's 3rd and 14. From the goal line, watch out! Ball is out! Picked up for the touchdown! Preston Smith recovers it!
Iconic Preston Smith play from the 2017 season, a sack fumble from Ryan Kerrigan on Dak Prescott. And then that fumble resulted in a touchdown as Smith scooped and scored. Go crazy at the time, FedEx Field. Who called that play, Danny?
Jim Nantz?
That's Jim Nantz.
Yeah.
There you go. CBS, NFL number one crew. Speaking of which, our NFL conversation is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So the Preston Smith edition is really interesting to me. I actually think he is a dead ringer for what they're trying to do right now up front on the edge. He's kind of a, I don't want to say younger version because he's actually not younger at all. He's older. But he's a he's similar to Dietrich Wise in a lot of ways. He's 32 years old. He's huge. He's 6'5", 265, so he's a massive person. They want an edge setter who can be tough against the run. And I think Preston Smith, if you tell him this is how we need you to commit, we need you to help us stop the run on the outside here, I think he can be that guy. For 4 years here, then 5 years in Green Bay, then a half season with the Packers last year before being traded to the Steelers at the deadline, he was able to do some of those things. He's super long. He's got length. He can keep tackles off of him. I was wondering and worried about how they're going to replace Wise. I didn't think they had the personnel to necessarily do that, but I actually think Smith gives them a much better chance than what they had in the building before that. No delusions of grandeur here. I know he had 8 sacks a couple years ago. I think whatever you get as a, from a pass rush standpoint is probably a bonus. Mm-hmm. But I do think his size will help them. They needed that.
Yeah. Here's what I don't know. I don't know what he is right now this minute. I mean, the most of the time when he was in, you know, he was in Washington, then he was in Green Bay, I had a pretty good feel for it. I always felt like he was a slightly underrated player in that regard because he didn't come through with, I mean, he had one season, I think, of double-digit sacks, but I think he had 12. But for the most part, this was a maybe at times boring and unsexy, little bit of a run stuffer, pretty accountable on the edge, solid all around, pretty good, but never going to be the like TJ Watt headliner, or Khalil Mack headliner, or you know, huge difference maker. But you could do a lot worse, is kind of the point. I don't know. I didn't follow what he was doing the last couple of seasons, honestly, as closely. So it was interesting that nobody else was interested, right? I mean, didn't that surprise you at all that at this stage, a couple of weeks into a season, you could just go grab Preston Smith? It makes me a little bit dubious that this is like panacea from heaven and we've solved it.
That's a really good point. I mean, and that is the argument, I would say, against him having a big impact or being a super helpful player is, why was he available on September 17th? You've got three organizations that you've played for going back now to the 2024 season, basically, where at some point, somewhere along the way, or I should say the 2023 season, but whether it's Green Bay or Pittsburgh most recently, someone could have said, we either want him or there's enough tape there. Play a lot of teams within the division. Somebody says, you know, he's a useful player. We'll keep him. Now, Dan Quinn did say they've been talking about him extensively for a while. And in reaching out to his camp today and having a quick conversation, it sounds like, you know, there was a lengthy dialogue this offseason about Preston Smith. My guess is probably before they signed Wise or around that time, where they're looking for size on the edge, and he was one of the guys on their short list. Why they didn't decide on him over Wise or why they didn't bring him in with Wise, I don't know. Why he didn't have another home?
Maybe not, price tag, honestly. I mean,
it's possible.
Yeah.
The other thing sometimes with these guys is, like, if you're Preston Smith, maybe you're at a point in your career, it's funny because we think of him as the second round pick that they just drafted who's a young kid, but maybe you're only going to go to a contender because you want a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're only going to go to a place where you're actually going to play a lot at this point of your career. And that wasn't an available thing when he could have signed right before training camp. So he was like, holding out for that, and now you get that opportunity, so you were just waiting for an injury, and it happened. There's a lot of possible reasons, but I do agree with you. My antenna's up a little bit when you're signing a guy who, for 2 weeks of the NFL season, was not on a payroll. This was Dan Quinn at his presser today on Smith.
We've actually discussed Preston for a while. Edge, he's strong, you know, proven pass rush ability. We liked his size, too, and so with Dietrich being injured, if we had another chance to add another person to that group, it seemed like the fit. And so I've followed him for a long time. I feel like it's one of those players I've known but didn't have a chance to coach and always have wanted to. And so when he was able to come in for the workout and be here, it just felt like a good fit. He saw him hanging out with Kerrigan, you know, for them playing some years together. And having that person, okay, this is what we do here, this is how it's going. I'm hopeful that Ryan can help on that onboarding process, but this is a veteran guy who will get up to speed quick. You can tell he's a bright guy, but you can tell he really worked hard to get himself in shape to be ready for the op when it came, and he had a few of them.
That's pretty cool, by the way. He was here. Kerrigan was his mentor as like the veteran player at the time.
That's neat.
Was showing you the ropes, and now he's your position coach. So you come back, and that's about the only thing that you know. I was thinking about seeing this organization through the lens that is Preston Smith, and when you were here, what it was. They were called the Redskins. It's a different ownership group. Every person in the building in every single role is no longer here, basically.
Way more Bruce than you want.
Now you've got a real front office and general manager. You've got, obviously, a coaching staff is different. That's going to happen in a lot of buildings, right? But nothing is similar. The locker room's been completely redone. It's now gorgeous and pristine. You ain't sitting on a stool anymore at your stall, Preston. You know, you got the big padded seats and the beautiful locker room that you've seen. All the facilities have been massively upgraded and renovated, and they poured millions into those. That old AstroTurf field is no longer out there in Ashburn. Beautiful new practice fields as well. I mean, it's all lipstick on a pig of a facility if you're comparing it to an SEC team or, you know, these big money programs in school or some of the top gorgeous facilities like Seattle's on the water in the NFL. But still, I mean, you walk in that door and you go, what team is this? It's not like you've played here before. This is an expansion team. This is an entirely different thing from the name to everything else.
Totally. And the culture of it, I know that's that word is people always roll their eyes, but that's the biggest thing. It's like, you know, new coats of paint happen or new carpet happens or, you know, a couple employees here and there are different. But the idea that this is a completely different organization than he walked out of to come back, however, what is it, like 7 years later, is pretty remarkable. But yeah, I mean, there are a couple free agent defensive ends or edge type players that were sort of lingering out there, that names that you recognize, right? And he's been, I would say, among the more productive of them. I mean, I'm surprised, frankly, that they haven't called Carl Lawson, who I think played for Dan Quinn in Dallas, who hasn't been a juggernaut, but, you know, was a part-time defensive end like Dante Fowler was before, like a Dorrance Armstrong was before, that 4 or 5 sack type window. But it clearly tells you they wanted this type of player, maybe more so than a pass rusher.
Well,
this is the early down defender. Yeah,
it's size. It's stopping the run size, and then, you know, you get the little bonus if he rushes the quarterback. But again, 8 sacks just a couple of years ago. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying if you look at his pass rush win rate or any of this stuff, it jumps off the page. Because if it did, I promise you he would have had a gig. You can't be a stellar pass rusher and not get phone calls. Like, that does not work as an edge. If you're not getting calls, if you're not on a team right now, it's because you're probably not a good bet to get to the quarterback a whole lot. But if he gives you a little bonus there and he can get home. For a team, by the way, where's your pressure coming from traditionally off the edge? We've said Von Miller is going to be their closer. He's been whisper quiet as a pass rusher, albeit not a lot of snaps. It's a very small sample. But through 2 games, has he been overly noticeable? I mean, they didn't get any pressure on Jordan Love.
None.
They had, I think, 2 statistical sacks, one of which he kind of fell down and gave himself up, and Armstrong played 2-hand touch. But other than those 2 sacks, they had 1 more play where they hit Jordan Love in the entire football game.
And that's without a lineman or two from Green Bay, kind of a regular group. So, yeah, that was discouraging on all fronts. That was, I mean, we talked about a million different angles. That was one of dozens that didn't go particularly well for Washington, but that one was a bit alarming. That group couldn't kind of go nuts right there against that offensive line. I mean, because, again, they did their job with the run stopping. You held Josh Jacobs to mid 3 yards per carry. I will take that every single time, always. It was the next phase. The whole point of this renovation of the defensive front was, can we stop the run on early downs to put us in good second and long, third and long type situations? They got that.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get home or couldn't come close.
I asked Logan this question on the new Take Command pod, which you guys should check out. Take Daniels out of the equation. Of the other injuries here, I'm not even talking Eckler and Wise because we covered that yesterday, but the smaller, shorter-term things. So we're talking Noah Brown at wide receiver, which means maybe more Chris Moore. John Bates, who might miss this game, which means elevating somebody from practice squad, and more Ben Sinnott. Who's the sneaky injury where you think they're going to miss somebody? Jonathan Jones, the corner, has been placed on injured reserve. I think not having John Bates is huge.
Bates.
Especially the way Connerly's played and the inability to hold up so far in pass pro, and with Max Crosby coming to town. I worry about not having the big de facto third tackle. I would actually dress and plan on playing Trent Scott in like a jumbo look as a quote-unquote tight end, but like a 2-tackle situation where I just handcuff him to Josh Connerly a bunch whenever I'm trying to do anything down the field.
Get out of my head, Grant. Literally my answer. And that's why. Normally I'd go, yeah, you know, he really helps in the run game, and he does. Bates is an excellent inline blocker. Every big run, you can go find Bates there somewhere, but it's because of the Max Crosby angle.
Let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline really quickly. Eric Flax, kind enough to give us a ring. He's actually covering everything going on today, but he has a couple of minute respite here to jump on with us. So we want to get the latest on this stadium deal. I don't want to say it's in peril, but it's certainly shifting all the time. So Eric, give us what you know about some of the amendments that the D.C. City Council is trying to crowbar in at the last second, and just how upset the team is about it.
Last question first. The team is pretty perturbed, upset about all this. Main headlines are there's an ask that the team be penalized somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $14 million a year if they don't meet timelines that were outlined to provide affordable housing, 6,000 units. There are a number of different environmental asks, including saving a number of heritage trees that are around the site, as well as making it a LEED certified, environmentally friendly zero waste stadium. And then there's a lot of debate about that third parking garage and who gets to ultimately decide whether or not that third parking garage gets built. All of those issues have been in negotiation all day. The team did send a really angry letter saying the threatening council, saying they were jeopardizing the deal. There have been discussions all day, and it looks like the majority of those issues have been worked out. But all of that still remains unclear, as they have yet to actually get to the RFK issue down here at DC Council.
So they're voting on these amendments as well as the stadium deal. The stadium deal is almost certainly going to pass because they only need 7 votes. They got 9 last time. But what do we know about whether the amendments will pass then? Because that's when the team would be furious, and now this is a deal they never agreed to.
Right. So the amendments come first, and I've been told that the team has, and it's been very unclear, but they've worked out whatever issues there were with the environmental stuff. So whether or not that's in the form of an amendment that actually gets voted on and approved or not, that has been worked out. I've been told that the amendment for all this money, these penalties, is still going to go forward, but it's going to fail. If it were to pass somehow, that would become problematic because that in a turn is something the team has not agreed to. So ultimately an amendment would become part of the deal that ultimately is passed and voted on. But if it's a deal that the team is not happy with, and it's a deal that the team is not, you know, obligated by DC Council to follow through with. But all indications are that after a lot of hand-wringing down here, yet to be seen, but behind closed doors, a lot of these issues we think have been worked out, but nothing's official.
Where did these things come from? The last minute amendments.
Yeah, just politics being politics. One of them, the big one with the money, comes from Matthew Frumman, who voted against the deal to begin with. He's a council member out there, and he voted against it, didn't think D.C. was getting a good enough deal. The environmental stuff came from, I'm not sure which council members, but in a larger sense, various council members have a second opportunity here with this second vote to get various other things added into the deal. It's just the way the sausage is made down here. And so at the 11th hour, a lot of council members came and added in some things that they thought they can get jammed in. In fact, Frumman said we need to negotiate hard with this team till the last second because that's what they would do with us. And you had council members like Brooke Pinto who said, we've already agreed to this deal. We shouldn't be changing it now. But there were people who just wanted to hold the team's feet to the fire to the 11th hour and get whatever they could out of the team while they still had the chance. And that's, I think, what ultimately angered the team. But again, I think cooler heads have prevailed, we think.
All right. So it sounds like maybe some progress is being made. Before we let you go, give us the final timeline here today. I know it's their first day back in session, so there's a million different things they're voting on. Only a couple that, you know, for the sake of this show and the commander's conversation that people are locked in on. But when are the amendments supposed to be voted on in the stadium deal, or do we not have a timeline?
It all happens in one big kit and caboodle, and it should happen in about an hour. So the hope is by the time we go on Channel 9 at 5, 6 o'clock that we have a stadium deal. But they're working through another big rental issue right now. Stadium deal is up next. So hopefully, I would say by the time you guys go off the air, we have a deal for a new stadium for the Washington Commanders.
And then agree or disagree then with my theory that the stadium deal, whether it passes or not, the only thing that matters is do any of these amendments that the team doesn't like pass or not.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't even think we're going to get there. I mean, the whatever passes, the stadium deal, the amendments become part of the deal if they pass. So they're not like a separate deal. So if the amendments become part of the deal, and then, you know, if it's something the team didn't like, then they can pass a deal that the team won't agree to all they want. But yes, I mean, you're
saying
right.
That's unlikely to happen because cooler heads will prevail and the council will say we can't pass
they're
this.
They're not going to. The one that was really a non. Well, there was a couple that were introduced by Treon White that quite honestly didn't even make sense and weren't really rooted in the way the world works. So those were non-starters. But the one that did have potential, this one about penalizing the team, that one is going to be introduced, but as of now, we are told doesn't have the votes to pass. That's the one that could hold up the deal. If somehow the amendment to penalize them $10 to $14 million a year for not meeting benchmarks to build affordable housing on the timeline that is already laid out, if that were to pass, then it becomes problematic. But it does become part of the deal that ultimately the D.C. Council would have to approve.
Eric, thanks for the time, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
Ron. And I know you do, too. Thank you.
Bye.
He's the best. Eric Flack, check him out on WUSA TV9 on the news this evening. He'll have the latest. Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals is going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes right here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Down the stretch we come. Nats baseball coming your way pregame and then first pitch. Pregame's about 8 minutes out. Mackenzie Gore is on the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Our segments with him every week on the show are presented by Main Street Bank, Cheer Local, Bank Local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Mackenzie, last night was a slog. I mean, you pitched really well, 5 2/3 scoreless innings, but it was cold, it was wet, it was windy. There weren't a lot of people in the stands. Kind of a bring-your-own-energy night, huh?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you said, you know, bring some energy. I mean, it's still a big league game, so there's still, you know, there's a lot on the line, and you're playing a really good lineup, and Chris Sale's pitching, so you have a good idea of what the game's going to be like. But yeah, you know, strange two-hour delay. And raining at the end of the year. So it was kind of weird going in, but it's still a big league game. So you got a lot of adrenaline and, you know, there's some things you have to do. So you pitch well, and I was able to do that for the most part.
On a night where you're pitching like last night, I'm sure the answer is different. So tell us what you were doing during the two-hour delay last night. But on a non-pitch night, what are you doing during a delay of 2 hours? That's a long time.
On a non-pitch night, a whole lot of nothing. Just kind of hanging out, wondering if we're going to play or not. It's kind of what you do. You end up eating a lot, just sitting around. And the rain delays are pretty boring, though. They're pretty boring.
So, but for last night, when did you know there was going to be a delay? And how does that affect your routine? I imagine one of the harder things, kind of underrated, would be getting up, getting ready, and then, nope, hold off. And now we got to ramp that process back up again. When did you know, and how does that affect your routine?
Yeah, you know, there wasn't like a final word or a, hey, we are going to be in a delay until probably a little after 6. I knew that they needed 45 minutes after they took the tarp off. So I knew I would have some time whenever that was. But, it's kind of weird because when you start, you're pretty locked in all day, and you kind of have to turn it off for a little bit once you've learned that there's going to be an hour or so that you have to wait, just because if you're trying to focus for that long, you'll be exhausted. So you kind of turn it off, stay loose, and then when you have an idea of when the game's going to start, you kind of lock it back in and get ready to go.
You were dealing there pretty much all night on a tough night for all hitters, for both lineups. You guys both, you imagine Chris Sale pitch for pitch. How did you feel when you came out of the game, and you know, did you feel like you could have gone more?
Yeah, I mean, we knew going in that was going to be at 90, just coming off. We went like, 78 last time, mm-hmm. coming off the IL, and so 90 was the number. And so I knew that was probably going to be enough, and I kind of settled in. The rain kind of stopped in, what, the third inning or so. And I think we both kind of settled in, and I got rolling there after the first. And I felt good. You know, my body's recovered well after taking 2 weeks off. And I think this stuff was probably a little better last night than it was the start before, which was kind of expected. So
does that mean in your next start, you can be back to 105 pitches, or do you stay at 90 now? What's kind of the timeline?
Yeah, I should be full go next start. I mean, what that ends up being pitch count wise, you know, you never, don't really know going in. But I will be full go. There'll be no hard pitch count or anything going into the next one. So
how does the night where you mentioned it was raining, it was sprinkling on and on throughout, then there were times it was coming down even harder. How does that affect you on the mound in terms of grip and feel and everything? Do you have to tweak anything?
Yeah, when it's wet, you know, it's tough. You know, the mound gets wet. Obviously, everybody has to deal with this. And I do have a long stride, so that's usually interesting to deal with in the rain. Sometimes you got to short the stride a little bit, and then the ball gets wet. But, I mean, you can get a new ball pretty easy. So just understanding that it's going to be wet out there, and maybe short the stride a little bit and get the foot down a little earlier just so we don't slip.
Nats ace left-hander Mackenzie Gore is with us on Grant and Danny. Mac, I know you're not overly involved in monitoring all of this, all right? I get that. But I am just curious, as a guy who's one of the veterans and leaders in the clubhouse, you know, you guys are ongoing with your GM search right now. They're going to be a new executive running the show potentially this offseason and maybe a new manager. I'm just wondering what you kind of hope the future looks like for this team, and if you have any thoughts going into the offseason here of what this thing could and should look like moving forward in terms of bringing pieces in and getting active again as someone who's a mainstay and an important piece to this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think everything starts from the top, so I think that's very important going into the offseason. I'm sure, you know, they're going to hire whoever they think the best fit is. As a player, I just want to, you know, get the most out of everybody in the clubhouse, and I think that starts from the front office, and I think that's something we haven't necessarily done the past few years. We've had guys have good years. I'm not saying that. But we just, you know, we haven't won enough games, and it's been frustrating. But we do have some really exciting players, James, CJ, Dylan. You know, Dalen's had a really nice rookie year, and there's some other pieces I'm leaving out. But we've got some guys that can play, and we just want to get the most out of this group. I think that's what the best teams do, no matter – how much the player's making, they get the most out of that player. And I think that's something we have to figure out how to do here.
Yeah, maximizing potential, right? Like, if everyone reaches their ceiling, it's a different-looking ball club. Is there something specific? Is that a front office thing or a coaching thing? Like, how do you guys actually do that?
I'm not sure what the answer is. I do know that, unfortunately, we didn't win enough games this year. And a lot of that is on the players. We are the ones out there. But we just got to figure out a way as a group to just be a little better. I wish I knew the answer, but I get paid to try to get people out, not to figure out what that answer is. So, but I do think that's something we need to do as a group, and it's on the players, but I think it's everybody. It's the whole organization. So
how has Sean Doolittle been able to work with you? A guy that, you know, most of the Nats fans remember pitching, it seems like 5-10 minutes ago. Now he's got like a pen in his hat, and he's, you know, Mr. Calming Presence on the mound, covering his mouth, letting, you know, no one know what he's saying. What's it like been working with him?
Yeah, me and Dude kind of built a great relationship. And it's been cool with him too, because he's kind of learning the coaching side as he's, you know, going into this year. He was just, it seemed like he did a great job last year, and he was even better this year. I've really enjoyed working with him. He's helped me a lot. I think he's, you know, a big part of the reason I've been able to make strides and continue to get better. So he's been great to have around, and he's really smart. And I think he's kind of the same way. He's going to continue to get better as a coach, and he seems like he really enjoys it.
Mackenzie Gore, ace of the Nationals on Grant and Danny. Mackenzie, we appreciate it, brother. Finish the season strong and look forward to catching up next week.
All right, will do.
That was the leadoff brought to you by The Window Man. Since 1989, The Window Man's been the educational window company. Get your free in-home estimate or visit thewindowman.com's all-new Fairfax showroom. Big thanks to Mackenzie Gore, presented by Main Street Bank, all season long, every week, right here on Grant and Danny. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Tomorrow on the show, we've got a major announcement. We're excited to tell you about something the show is going to be doing this season that is awesome. You'll want to keep it glued to 106.7 The Fan tomorrow for that announcement. Thanks to Darius, Ryan, and Toby behind the scenes. Grant and Danny saying so long. Nats pregame is up next. Tomorrow, a real-life, full radio show, we promise.
We can do it!
4.5 hours. It's going to happen.
Sounds like a long time.
So long. But the Nationals are not playing a day game, which is unbelievable. And tomorrow, we'll be with you from 2 to 6:30 on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.